Sponsors use economic leverage to force the NFL to clean up its game. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Some of the National Football League's big money sponsors think the league is not doing enough to grapple with the problem of players who beat their partners and their children. Last night, the Minnesota Vikings deactivated running back Adrian Peterson while he faces child abuse charges. Here with more on Fed Up Sponsors is Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson. Tracy, what are we hearing from sponsors?
David, several have said they're unhappy with the NFL's response to these and other incidents, and they're looking for more action from the league. An Anheuser-Busch spokesperson told the Wall Street Journal that a lot of sponsors have been put in the position of having to justify their relationship with the league. And the company released a statement saying they're, quote, not yet satisfied with the league's response. Radisson, the hotel chain, announced it's suspended its sponsorship with the Minnesota Vikings.
Now, these are strong statements, but will we see more sponsors actually pulling the plug?
So far, the sponsors are staying put and waiting to see what the NFL will do. I spoke with Victor Matheson, a sports economist at the College of the Holy Cross. He says this marks a different response from sponsors in past incidents, where they regularly react to problems by canceling individual player contracts.
This is one of the first times we've seen sponsors threaten to walk away from the entire league because people perceive that the entire league has botched their response to what appears to be a much more widespread problem than the NFL would like to admit.
Look, these are big issues with lots of money at stake. Matheson says that overall the NFL is expected to bring in about $10 billion in 2014, with about $1.5 billion coming from sponsors, licensing, and other investments.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you. California has a new law on its books. It's been dubbed the Yelp Law after the online location-aware directory of restaurants and other establishments. The Yelp Law stops businesses from stopping you from writing bad reviews. Stan Alcorn takes a look at what's going to change.
To protect their reputations online, some businesses have been writing non-disparagement clauses, fine print on their websites that says customers can't complain, or they'll hear what online retailer ClearGear told John Palmer.
Your wife criticized us on Ripoff Report. You now owe us a penalty of $3,500.
That's Palmer's attorney, Scott Michaelman, who won that case and inspired the California law. The law bans these kind of penalties, though it still leaves room for filing a legal case for defamation.
As opposed to an effort to harass, intimidate, and silence its critics.
Either way, though, the business has to find those critics. Sparks Steakhouse is suing Yelp to find the identity of one reviewer. The Yelper claims to be an employee who regularly spits into the dishes of customers. Across the street, Victoria Miller says that one review would be enough for her.
I would definitely avoid that place at all costs.
True or false, that online critic's best defense is anonymity. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, the people of Scotland go to the polls for one of the most crucial political and economic decisions of their lives. They will vote on whether or not they want to separate from the United Kingdom. As veteran Marketplace correspondent Stephen Beard reports, the voters have been warned.
More than 100 companies with Scottish operations have spoken of the perils of independence. Some have threatened to pull their headquarters out of Scotland if there's a yes vote. The pro-independence leader, Alex Salmond, blames the No campaign.
I think the problem lies entirely with the No campaign for this reason. They have now been caught red-handed as being part of a campaign of scaremongering.
But the warnings of turmoil have been widespread. Following a yes vote, there would be at least 18 months of intense negotiation and, for the whole of the UK, acute uncertainty. What currency would Scotland use? How much of the UK's national debt would it shoulder? How much of the North Sea oil would it inherit? Mike Amy of the PIMCO bond investment firm.
I think it would create uncertainty because we wouldn't know who'd end up with what. And as a result of that, I think you'd probably find some business investment put on hold during that period. The economy would be weaker.
That may be putting it mildly. Some economists say that at a stroke, the UK's reputation as a global safe haven would be smashed. There could easily be a run on the pound, says George Godbur, a fund manager with the Mitan Investment Group.
If Scotland were to vote to be independent, I would expect a very significant fall in sterling, be as much as 10%.
Dire predictions are coming thick and fast. A well-known property website forecasts if there's a yes vote, a Scottish house price crash. That might wipe $130 billion off the value of Scottish real estate and rattle Britain's mortgage banks. In Scotland, businesswoman Michelle Rodger, who plans to vote yes, says these forecasts are ludicrously negative.
A yes vote sends the most positive message to the rest of the world. It's Scotland saying, you know, we've taken this opportunity, we've grasped it with both hands, and we're going to change Scotland for the better.
No one doubts the Scots would be able to run a successful economy, but divorce can be messy. Disentangling the 307-year-old union with the rest of Britain would be monumentally difficult. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The economic well-being of an independent Scotland will depend significantly on how much North Sea oil and gas Scotland would get to keep. If you missed our report about this on the air, it's at marketplace.org. There's also a Marketplace app available for free in the Apple and Google stores that has portable versions of me and Kai Brisdahl and the rest of the gang. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.